Praise God. Well, let's continue from what we were sharing this morning as we were looking over in 2 Corinthians. If you'll turn there with me, please. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Just want to touch a little bit on what we were talking about out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Remembering that we have an opportunity to allow the Lord to do something with the manner in which we perceive. We have an opportunity for the Lord to do something with the manner in which we believe anything. We don't have to just be settled in what we think we believe. We can allow the Lord to speak to us and tell us if indeed we're believing right. Amen. Some folks are so staunch and stubborn in what they believe, they don't even give God an opportunity to check them. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll check up everything except our beliefs.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Go to the doctor, get your physical, check up, look good, go home. Amen. When time to change the oil in the car, check up, got airs in the tire. Amen. Come on. It's okay, you can drive it. But when I start, or any other minister start talking about how you believe, wait a minute now, that's personal. That's personal. What are you doing talking about the way I believe? Everybody believe the way they believe. No, we may not be believing just like we need to believe. That's why we have the Bible. The Bible is given to us. And it is that roadmap that leads us to the perfect will of God for our lives. You have to be a Bible-believing Christian, not just an independent-thinking Christian. Well, this is the way I feel about it. Well, nobody asked you. Go to the Bible. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Go to the Bible. Let the Bible teach you and shape you in the way that you need to believe. Amen. I'm always challenged by scripture. Amen. I'm always challenged by what the word says. I mean, God just gets on my case all the time. How about you? He will not allow you to just be settled on your leaves. And I'm not talking about the leaves that live over there in the high pines. He won't allow you to just be settled down and come for the bowl in your way. What he's going to do is challenge you to walk in the new and living way. Amen. Now, he's got your best interest at heart. So there's no reason for us to have an attitude toward God, to put up a wall and be defensive about what God wants to do in our lives. Because he's always got our best interest at heart. He knows what's best for us. That's why he devised the plan and he works to get you and I in it. Hallelujah. I'm glad he didn't come and ask me my opinion. What you think about it, Brother Ford? What you think about it? Would you like to go this way, or do you think this would be a good path for you? I'm so glad he didn't do that. I would have got on the wrong path. All of us would have taken the wrong road, because there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Amen. So God doesn't want to lead us down paths that lead to destruction. God wants to lead us down paths that leads to life and life more abundantly. That's what God wants to lead us to. And so he devised the plan for you before the earth was ever created, before your mother and father ever knew each other, and before you were ever born. And he put your name on it. Amen. Now we have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and accept what God has ordained for us.
Yes.
See? Because he's God.
Yes,
just stop sometime when you think you know what you're doing, when you think you got it all together and you know what you need to do. And just look up like Abraham did and count the stars if you can. Amen. Hallelujah. I go one and I get confused because I don't know which one is two, because there's too many of them. Amen. If you try to go left to right, you'll never make it. Isn't that right? Amen. You can't count all of the constellations. You can't figure out how the nebulous works. Amen. You can't even count all of the sand on the seashore. Praise the Lord. He didn't even talk about the dust particles you hadn't gotten to yet in your house. Praise the Lord. Amen. And everything that the vacuum is missing. Right? See what I'm saying? So don't listen. Humbling ourselves before the mighty hand of God is essential. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Amen. And wisdom is spiritual. It comes from God. And you have to make friends with wisdom. The Bible says, call wisdom your sister. Man, I don't have no siblings. Well, you got a sister wisdom. You're not alone. You got a family. You got sister wisdom. Amen. And if you listen to your sister, she'll help you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know a woman telling me what to do. That's old carnal mind again. You see, I'm trying my best. That old carnal mind just got to step in. Listen. Call wisdom your sister. In other words, make wisdom personable. Count yourself to be related to what God wants you to know. Make it personal. Then you can receive from God a little bit better. As long as you are in the group out there that's saying God is a mysterious God and he works in mysterious ways and he's past finding out and you just never know what God might do. As long as you run around with that crowd, you're going to be confused. God wants you to understand his plan for your life. And that's why he's given us the word. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we hold and engage in this ministry. What is this ministry? What's the chief and first ministry that each one of us have as believers? That is ministering to God. Blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. You have to charge yourself to do that. That's right. You have to charge yourself to do that. If you don't, you'll be going around singing, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Amen. You just got to charge yourself to direct yourself toward praising God. Or some other song is going to come along and get you humming it. It'll engage you and get you humming it and get you involved in your emotions and your feelings and all of that stuff. So you've got to charge yourself. You have to say, I will worship the Lord. I'm going to worship my God. Amen. I'm going to live and not die, and I will proclaim the great and wonderful things of God in my generation. Amen. I am a worshiper. I am a praiser. I am a doer of the word of Almighty God. Amen. I'm not a hearer only. I'm a doer. And I'm prompt to obey him. Amen. I'm prompt. I know my Lord's voice. So I do what he says.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not based on how you feel.
Right.
Not based on what you think about it.
Amen.
It's between me and God. It's personal. Hallelujah. And God observes our ways and our doings and our thoughts. He even observes your feelings.
Yes,
right? He'll get on you how you feel about something. Yeah, he just get on you. What you feel like that for? What's the matter with you? You don't think so? Watch this week and see, don't he do it? It'll get on you about how you feel. Because you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. So you just can't feel any old kind of way. You liable to do something you have no business doing. You just can't feel any kind of way. God is noticing what we do with our lives.
Amen.
So our chief and foremost ministry is ministering to God first and foremost. Ministering to him in worship, in obedience, in our tithes and offerings, in confessing him before men, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're ministering to God. God wants to see if you believe what he's done for you. Amen. He wants you to feel good about that.
Yes.
He wants you to be excited about it. Yes. And unashamed of it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then he can work for you.
Hallelujah.
It's easy for the angels of God to minister to you like the Bible says they're supposed to if you're going around confessing the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If they don't know who you're serving, they can't do a whole lot for you. They are ministering spirits, agents sent to minister to the household of faith. That's the Bible. Angels ministering to and for us. Amen. He says, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess. This is what Jesus said. I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father and his angels. So the angels are looking to hear your name. Your angels especially are looking to hear Jesus confess your name before the Father.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Amen. That changes the way I feel about it. I'm beginning to feel different about my confession. I need to let people know I'm a Christian.
Amen.
That I believe God. I am a man of God.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of it. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, agnostic, you might be one of them. Don't care. You can get saved too, Brother Ag. Yes, you can. You can get saved too. I can show you how. Atheist. Oh, you can get saved too, Brother Atheist. But you won't if I'm ashamed to confess Jesus before you. So God looks at our behavior, you see. Because we're ministering to him when we keep these things. So he goes on to say, and that we're engaged in that mercy, in that ministry rather, by the mercy of God, right? Engage in this ministry by the mercy of God. What is he doing? He's granting us favor. You get a job when nobody else can find one. He gives us benefits. People look at you and say, I just don't understand how you do it. I just don't understand it. He opens doors. He gives you opportunities.
Amen.
Opportunities. And especially salvation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. See, we're just acting like the cows out in the field now. We're just re-chewing this thing. Amen. We bring it back up and we chew on it some more. Amen. Any country folk in here? I'm not preaching to all city people. Anybody in here ever milked? A cow? Anybody? Huh? Yeah. All right. We got a few. You got a few. You ever milked a cow? All right. Good. You look like you ought to have some of that kind of experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need experienced people in this ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. We need experienced people. Amen. You can lay hands on people a whole lot better if you ever milked a cow. It's just something about it. It's just. Well, maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. All right. So we do not get discouraged. In other words, be without spirit and despondent with fear or become faint and have weariness and exhaustion all on us because we're ministering unto God. See, when you get in touch with God, God gets in touch with you and you have fellowship with him. So all the despondency, all of the fear and all of the anxiety and everything that is trying to just cramp your style just has to dissipate and go away. Right? Don't have a pity party. Have a praise party. Come on. Hallelujah. Have a praise party. Worship God. Amen. Get your attention on him. And then watch and see. When you attend to him, then he'll attend to you.
Amen.
Yes, he will. Amen. I know we all have needs. We got concerns. Some of us have issues. Issues. Amen. But you go before God and you worship him. Like that's more important than your issues. That's more important than what's been taxing you. You just go before him, just disregard that and give him all of your undivided attention. After a while, you forget all about your little problem. Amen. And where you were supposed to go have a problem the next day after you went into the office and sat down in the chair at the desk in front of the person, you will find they look at you. And what will they do? They will give you favor.
Hallelujah.
They will give you benefit.
Thank you, Jesus.
They'll give you an opportunity. When you thought they was about to take the keys to your apartment, they're saying, you know, I got a 2-bedroom over here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's opportunities out there. See? But you see, the person that doesn't give God the ministry that's due him don't think like that. They don't think like that. They're forgetting that God is all powerful. All knowing. Hallelujah. God knows everything. He knows where your job, your money, your wife, your cousin, you know. Everybody is. Hallelujah. He's got eyes on your children when they're not with you. He knows exactly what you can know exactly where your children are if you just worship God. That's right. All the time you can know where they are, what they're doing. You can text them and tell you know you need to get out of there, don't you? You just need to get on out of there right now. You know, and say hallelujah at the end of it. Just say hallelujah. Amen. And they'll have to get up and move. See, God knows everything. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's El Shaddai. Amen. He is our sufficiency. He is. That's why we need to give him his worship. Now, we went on down to verse 2 and we say we have renounced disgraceful secret thoughts, feelings, disgraceful ways, desires, underhandedness, methods and arts that men hide through shame. We refuse to deal craftily, to practice trickery and cunning, or to adulterate nor handle dishonestly the word of God. We got people in the church that try to use the word of God to get what they want. Right? Just like those guys that came to Jesus and said, Lord, we know that thou art a good man. No one can do these ministry gifts, these works, except he be from God. And then they turn around and tested him. Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Praise him on one side of the mouth and then try to trick him on the other side. Why do you test me in this? He said. Why do you test me in this? Show me a coin. Whose image and subscription is on it? Caesar's. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's, but give to God what belongs to God.
Hallelujah.
Give to God what belongs to God. Your dishonest self. You can change, right? You disgraceful rascal, you. You can change. Don't tell me Jesus didn't talk like that. I believe he did. Got him killed. Hallelujah. Now see, you have a hard time receiving this, but that's exactly the way your ministry is supposed to be.
Amen.
You're supposed to look like you're trying to make people mad.
That's right.
You're supposed to preach like you're trying to get them upset. I mean, an individual came to Jesus and gave him a good answer, sounded good, it was exactly what he needed to say. And then Jesus turned right around and just cut them all up and set them down. He didn't regard men. He knew what was in us. See, he knows what is on the inside of us, what we really desire, what we really want. So he cut the chase and he gives us the truth. Just gives us the truth. And he don't come back and say, did you catch my drift? He don't come back and say that. He don't come back. He know you heard him. He can tell by the look in your eyes. Yeah, you heard it. Hallelujah. And just go right on doing what he's called to do. Now that's being a Christian.
Amen.
You got to shoot straight from the hip and tell the truth.
That's right.
Tell the truth. I'm going to have to say this because I'm shooting straight from the hip. Y'all don't love each other like you should. No, you don't. Because you're afraid to speak to somebody when you see them go through something. You kind of back off from them. Well, I just need to pray for you. Got a word in your heart and won't speak it. And the reason is that you're preserving yourself. Well, I don't want them to be mad at me. Pastor will say it sooner or later. He'll say it. Just watch and see. He'll say it. I don't have to say it. He'll say it. No, you're required to speak the truth in love. You are. That's right. You're required. And if you don't do it, you're in disobedience to God. You're in disobedience to God. Because you're trying to preserve yourself, or you're trying to preserve the friendship that we have. Praise the Lord. We're trying to preserve the friendship. We want to stay together. Let's stay together. God said, no, I didn't come to bring no peace. I come to bring a sword. That's what he said. Jesus said that. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. He said, daughter-in-law is going to be out of sorts with mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned some other members of the family. I think he was talking about you. But he did mention some other members of the family. Yeah, I think he called you a name. Yeah. And why did he say such a thing? When he's love? When he said, live at peace with all men as much as it within your ability? He said all of that. And yet he said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Sound like you double-minded there. What do you mean? What he's saying is that my responsibility and your responsibility is to make sure that each one of us are doing the Lord's will. Amen. That's my responsibility to you, your responsibility to me. God gives you the freedom to speak to me as your pastor, just like I have the freedom to speak to you as a worshiper in this church. He gives you that same freedom. He really does. Because we're all, hey, the ground where Jesus was crucified is level. We all come to him the same way. Amen. So we have a responsibility to make sure that we're each doing the right thing. Amen. Speak the truth. That's my responsibility. And that's real love. That's real love. Because I got to prize God and what God intends to do and what God wants to do and what I have revelation of. I have to prize that. I got to cherish it. And if I really do, then when he says you need to have lunch with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and talk to them, then you make time for that. And you sit down and you just hash it out. I like hash. Hallelujah. A little hot sauce. That's what it's like at those meetings. Hallelujah. I like to put my food parables in there. You know what I'm saying? Hash, hot sauce, jalapeno. It can be that way, but that's the will of God. Now, I've learned something about the Lord. And I often thought that God was just, you know, God, you get me in trouble. I mean, if I won't watch it, you just get me in trouble. That's right. That's right. See, because if I don't do what God calls me to do it, if you don't do what God, if I don't speak the truth to you in love and you don't speak the truth to me in love, then you see, we can't walk in unity. Amen. So in the family, you have the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law having a little fit there because the only thing that can settle that is they have to come to terms with Jesus himself in both of their lives. They have to come to terms with what God wants in this family. Amen. I'm living in close proximity to you, and I need to be concerned about how God wants me to live in close proximity to you. What is God seeking? Because we're still here together. We're in the same household. So God's after something. And if I'll seek that out, then we can have peace. But if we don't, he said, one's going to be against the other. That's right. That's the reason he said it. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to mix it up until you get it right. I won't allow you to have peace and harmony and happiness in that kind of mess. You're only going to have peace and harmony and happiness in the will of God.
Amen.
That's where you have it. So that's why you have divisions. That's why you have these little fallouts. It's not about the thing. It's not about, that's my chicken on this side of the refrigerator, and then that's your chicken on the other side of the refrigerator. Now you stay out of my food. It's not about those little issues in the family. Well, I paid my part of the light bill. You know what I'm saying? It's about the harmony that God is seeking. It's the unity that God is after. It's the agreement in the things of God that can bring change.
Amen.
And these little bitty foxes, it's not about that. Amen. But you'll be tormented with those kinds of things until you get into the unity. Hallelujah. We can have heaven on earth, can't we, Brother Cecil? We can have heaven on earth because he said, pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. We can have that. That's what God desires for us to have. Now, we've been talking about veils. We're going to talk just a little bit about the veils before we leave tonight, because that is the chief message in all of this. When Jesus was at Calvary, and he took all of the beating, and now he's nailed to the cross. And he's come to the end of everything that God has told him to do, and he's been absolutely 100% obedient in all things. And he did it all for us. He didn't need salvation. He didn't need healing. He didn't need abundance. He did it all for us. And when it was complete, he cried from the cross, "It is finished." That's what he said. And not too long after that, he breathed his last breath. And he said before he breathed his last breath, into thy hands, Father God, I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last breath. And when he breathed his last breath and his life went out of him, it said, the Bible says that in the temple area, the big veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the inner court was ripped, torn from top to bottom, thus signifying that the way into the holiest is now open for all men. Now we have entrance into the very presence of God without having to have a mediator or someone to go through. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that whatever we need from God, we can go to him directly in Jesus' name, and God will hear us. Don't need a father, don't need a priest, don't need a minister. You can go to him for yourself. Amen. Now, our message is this. Religiously, we have created, or there has been created, veils in our understanding, in the way that we believe. Veils can be created in us that hampers the way we believe and how we receive from God based on our experience. And the reason why I keep pushing that word experience is because you really believe your experience. Most people believe what they go through. See, and some of them will say that it came from God, that God allowed me to go through this. He's trying to teach me something. God allowed me to be sick. He's trying to teach me something. Quit taking the medicine then. You trying to get well before God finishes with you? Can you tell me what you learned? If you can't, you need to quit taking the medicine. Stay sick. If God's doing it, let him finish. But you see, that is just false doctrine. But see, I use that as an example. Our experiences sometimes convince us of things. We think because we're going through a particular thing that it's reality. It's factual. But it's not the true reality. It's not the true reality. The only real thing, the only true reality is what the Bible says. That's the only reality that there really is in the world, is what God says. What the scriptures tell us, that's truth. That's reality. Now, we can be convinced by all the stuff that we feel and that touches us and that we go through, and we can accept it because it's factual, right? It's factual. If you feel pain in your body, that's a fact. But there's a truth that is above that, which is by his stripes you were healed. Now, what we have to learn to do is to draw on reality, draw on the truth, and that will overcome the factual things that we go through. But until we begin to process that, and until we begin to use that in our Christian walk, we are going to continue to be convinced by various experiences. And in being convinced by those experiences, there are veils erected in our life between us and that which is in the Holy of Holies. And everything that is in the Holy of Holies has been put there for you and I. For our well-being. He said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Where is it? In my presence. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. Now, somebody's got a veil that says, but I'm not worthy to receive that. That veil has convinced you that you are not worthy to enter into the fullness of God and enter into the things of God and accept what God has for you because of your experience. Well, I'm here to tell you, your experience can change. Amen. You can have a different kind of experience. You can have an experience with God. Yeah, you can have an experience with God. That changes everything. Amen. And that's the kind of experience he wants you to live out of. Hallelujah. But see, these veils are in various places in our lives and they have to be destroyed. They have to be torn out. And that's why the Bible says, let every man work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling before God. Because you have to do the work of faith, fighting the good fight of faith to ensure that you are believing the way that you should be believing. You have to say things to yourself. If I'm having a problem in this area of my life, it's not anybody else's fault. I need to find out why I'm having this problem. I need to get with God and let God show me why I'm having this problem. I can't blame this on so-and-so. I can't blame it on sister such-and-such. I've got to find out why I'm having this problem. This is between me and God. It's not between me and you and God. It's between me and God. And I go to him and he's able to show me where the problem is. He's finally able to get it across to me. Well, son, you've been saying if you didn't have bad luck, you wouldn't have no luck at all. You just keep repeating that dumb junk all the time, religiously. And then you like, well, when it rains, it pours. You just love to say that, and you see it religiously. And there's people that gather around you that say, amen, that's the truth. And it's like you're having church around the wrong thing. You're having church around the wrong kind of thoughts and the wrong kind of sayings. And somebody's praising that junk around you. You can't do that and receive the goodness of God. You have to change your speech. But that won't happen until you change your thoughts. I got to stop thinking in defeat. See, the devil starts real early, doesn't he? In some of our families, not in mine, thank God, but in some of our families, the devil started with our parents by telling us you ain't gonna never amount to nothing. You ain't gonna never be worth nothing. You ain't gonna never do nothing. Your daddy didn't, you ain't. And they sow that negative thing into us. So it seems natural for us to believe that we're not worthy and that we're not capable. It's natural for us to believe that we're not gonna be able to do anything. That veil was erected early on in our lives. And because we have accepted it, we go through life and we pick up other veils in other areas of our lives and we just keep all of them in place. And before you know it, you look like you got a whole room full of veils. Like flags flying. You know? And that's why the Bible says have the mind of Christ. See, Jesus didn't think that way. Jesus came into this planet knowing what the plan and the will of God was. And he said, I've come to do thy will, O God. That's how he came. Right? Now you're born again, you can say the same thing. From here on out, I'm going to do thy will, O God. You say it. Amen? And when you say things like that, then things begin to line up. Because you're unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you're confessing the name of the Lord before men. And you're just unashamed to be a Christian. Then things begin to line up. The angels of God are able to minister for you and line things up so you can get to where you need to be. And nobody can stop that. Nobody can. That's the same power then that's working for you, that was working for you when you accepted Christ. There wasn't a demon big enough in hell to keep you from saying, Lord Jesus, I need you as my Savior. Amen. Satan didn't send one because it don't work. That's why they didn't. No devil tried to stop you. That's why one didn't show up at the altar or between you and the preacher or when you were on your knees in your apartment by yourself. There was no devil that showed up to say, you can't pray that. There's no way that God will save you. Because there isn't one big enough to stop what God has ordained. And that's the same power that works when you begin to be bold and to say, I'm going to do the will of the Lord in my life. You want to run with me? We're going to run with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You can call from the mall and ask me to come down, but I got to go to church first. You want to come down and go worship service with me first, then we can go over to the mall. Amen. You want me to go to the game with you tonight? Well, I got to go hear what the preacher got to say first, and then we can go to the game. Amen. You have to put God first. Yes. Hallelujah. And then things will get in order. It won't be just ducks that's getting in a row. Hallelujah. And I like to see them when they get in a row like a little family and go down through the lake. They look so sweet. But listen now. Verse 3 is where we're going. This is the statement that's being made. He said, but even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hidden, if it be hidden, obscured and covered up with a veil that hinders the knowledge of God. It is hidden only to those who are perishing and obscured only to those who are spiritually dying and veiled only to those who are lost. So you see, God's all into this veil thing. He wants the veils to come down so that you can believe and so that you can be prompt to obey. And so that he can pour his blessing out on your life. The veils have to come down. I've come to do thy will, O God. It's simple. You just simply say things like that. Lord, I'm going to do your will. And then the Holy Spirit will direct you and he will begin to clean up your worship, your believing. He'll begin to just work and get those things out of the way because he has a timeline for you. You don't want to get to the place where God wants you to be to fulfill your destiny and you not be ready. Now is the time, high time, to seek the Lord. Amen. Now is the time, oh God, arise. Now is the time to act. God is a now God. He's not a God of tomorrow or yesterday. He is a present help in the time of need. There are folk that come to church with all kinds of needs in their lives. And they have an idea about how they're going to get God to do something for them to get that need met. But if it isn't according to the word, it still won't work. People are trying church and it ain't working for them. Yeah, they're trying to do church and it's not working. See, Jesus said, you're clean now because of my words. While he was speaking to them, he was saying, now you are clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. In this present moment, you have your answer. We will come to church trying to do church and try to disregard what the preacher is saying at the same time because we don't want to do it. And we think doing church is still going to work for us to get our needs met. That won't work. Church is prophetic. You can't help but, if you come to a real church, you can't help but come to church and have God say something to you. You're going to hear something. If it's real church. God is all about doing. Two-thirds of his name is go. You turn around and the other two-thirds is do. Hallelujah. God is all about you getting up and going.
Hallelujah.
And doing.
Hallelujah.
See? So your answer is in obedience.
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm going to go try that church. Did God tell you to go to the church? Well, no. Then why are you going to try it? Let him tell you where to go. Be like some of these individuals that say, God, I'm not moving until you speak. You give me a word and then I'll act on it. See? And don't be like those people that say, be careful what you ask for. Because he's going to tell you to do something and you're not necessarily going to like it. Ain't no need you being careful about it. No need you be. He's God, remember? Right? He knows what he's dealing with. He knows what you don't like and what you do like. And he's not going to tell you everything that you like. He's not going to do it. I had a man come the other day, stand before me in my, on my secular job and just cut me up one side and down the other. And I was just nice to him. And then when he left, he said, and not too long from now, I'm going to come back and give you another sermon. I'm like, I hope not. He was telling me everything in the world that he believed, and I disagreed with him on every point. And I let him know that I disagreed with him. Too bad, they say, the customer's supposed to always be right. Not on my court. I'm sorry. If you're wrong, I disagree with you. And I'm going to tell you I disagree. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. That's not right. Right? You know, when you're doing God's will, you're going to confront people who don't like you.
Amen.
And people that's going to judge you, stereotype you.
Yeah.
They don't even know what you believe. Had one person to confront me the other day. Did you vote? I said, I'm starting to get a little upset with people asking me if I voted. And I'm saying this on my job. Out loud, because I want the people to shut up. Ain't your business. Talk to me about the issues. What did you vote for? Don't just ask me if I voted. You see what I'm saying? It was a bad day. I just had to let it out. I just said it out loud. I'm starting to get upset. I'm getting offended. My people are asking me if I voted. Oh, man. We want to ask questions like that about the church. Do you really love Jesus? How many people have walked up to you in public and say, are you a tither? Ain't nobody asking no questions like that. But they'll ask you, did you vote? Ask those questions that are serious. Are you fulfilling 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14? Are you humbling yourself before God? Are you repentant? Are you seeking unity with everybody in the church, regardless of whether this is your kind of church or not? Are you saved in prejudice? That's a good one. Lord have mercy. That's a good one. There's a lot of people, you know, that go to church and everything. But, man, I passed some people this morning. I'm dressed. Look at me. I look pretty good. I'm in a nice little car. They nice and in their car and dressed up. They saw me and turned their heads, wouldn't speak, on their way to church. What kind of Christian is that?
Amen.
I can't speak to you on Sunday morning. But you see me up in the store. Hey, forward. What if what happened on Sunday morning? I got the same face. What happened on Sunday that you changed? See? We need to ask some different questions. We need to start confronting people. Body of Christ needs to repent. Hallelujah. Stop being a coward. Hey? Anybody with me? Let's start something. Let's start a riot. Come on. Praise God. I'm getting a little itchy. I want to start something. Oh, glory. Everywhere Paul went, it was riot or something. They were trying to kill him. He's running out of town or he stirred stuff up. Man, he went to that place in Ephesus, did a miracle. They tried to give him the credit like he had something to do with the God. He said, man and brother, why are you doing this? This is the very thing I'm preaching to you about, that these idols are worthless pieces of junk and you should be worshiping the Lord God. You know, and he explained to them how merciful God was, gave them seasons and rains and so that they could have a harvest. And they got upset. And they said, this man's speaking against our gods. Your God ain't never healed you. I come and healed you, and now you're going to talk about me? You ought to be questioning that idol up there that ain't never done nothing for you. Amen. I'm trying to show you the true and righteous. And then they begin to say, oh, great is, what's her name?
Artemis.
Huh? Artemis. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And they went on and rant and raved for hours. Hours. Clerk of the city came out and said, wait a minute. Y'all better hush. You're going to have to give a reason for all this tumult today. If these men have done something against these fellows that make these goddesses, they can take them before court. But y'all better shut up and go home. That's what he told them. What did they do to the brother? Throw the brother in jail. Did a good deed for God. I wonder where the man was that got healed. Wonder where he was. I bet he wasn't out there saying, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Huh? I bet he wasn't. He's healed. He's like, I don't know about all that. You know, I once couldn't walk, or I once was blind, but now I see. I need to find out. He might have took a bottle of water to them while they was in jail, trying to find out some more about this God that brought healing in his life. Yeah, you will get in trouble obeying God. Yes, God will allow you to get in a mess. That's right. That's your calling and that's your election. Yes, you will have trouble and tribulation and trials and tests. That's who we are. We need to be aware of that and just keep on going for God anyway. That's seeking his kingdom first. Not worrying about all that other stuff, because God's going to take care of that.
Yes, sir.
Right? See, there are the people that are coming against us. They have veils on their lives. And they don't understand. The carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Right? They're foolishness unto the carnal mind. But God doesn't tell you to sweeten up your speech because they're carnal minded. He doesn't tell you to back off and not stand for the truth because they can't receive it. Or won't receive it. See? When he gives you an opportunity to speak, you speak.
Amen.
You don't use your boldness just to cut people up just because you can. But when he gives you an opportunity to speak the truth, you speak the truth to whomever.
Amen.
No matter who they are.
Amen.
They asked me in a business meeting one time, because of my sales being so high and excelling and always meet my goals, what do you attribute your success to? I said, you don't want to hear what I attribute my success to. Yes, what do you attribute your success to? I said, tithing. I'm in a business meeting. They ain't talking about Jesus. They're not talking about the Lord. I said tithing. Oh. Oh, that's all they could say. Why didn't they say, give me a scripture if they really wanted to know? Give me some scripture. I would have gave them scripture and started a Bible study.
Amen.
Amen. You know, give me an inch and I'll take a what? That's what I would have done. And that's what God would have wanted to have been done. Because he wants to bless your business. He wants to bless your employer. And if he can get truth to them through you, he can make that business do exponentially well. And have you right up there in the boardroom with them because of what revelation you gave them. Everything can change for you. You can go from a laborer, come on, to taking a business position in the boardroom. God's all up in the capitalism. Yes, he is. He ain't got nothing against money. He don't have anything against prosperity.
Amen.
That doesn't mean a whole, I mean, it's just another thing. And we're supposed to use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Financial prosperity, God's system for evangelism.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You put the right amount of money in my hand, I'll do something for Jesus.
Amen.
You better watch it. You give me some money, I'll use it for Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, I will. I'll do something for the Lord. I get my hands on the money.
Hallelujah.
And that's why the devil tries to keep Christians poor. Because you get motivated right. God get your heart. And you get some money. Oh, you're going to do some advertisements. Some mailings. Feed some people. Clothe some people. Church is supposed to have a presence in the community. We're supposed to be about doing the things of God and helping people. People are supposed to be seeking us out because we're such a blessing to them. You can't do that if you're broke. And so he gives you a system of tithing so that he can bless you. He said, prove me now if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. He said, prove me. That's the only time in the scripture that God said, prove him in anything. Because he wants you to be so blessed. And the church be so blessed because of what you're doing that the government will come to you and ask you, how in the world did you do this? Change the whole mentality of people out there that think that the government is their answer.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
We're supposed to be doing it.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Well, let's see if we can start closing. Praise the Lord. We're going to do like Paul. We're going to start closing. And by in the morning, we'll be finished. Bless his heart. That boy couldn't quit. Amen. He just couldn't quit. You could tell he didn't have no job. Oh, Lord. Look at verse 4. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. So you see what you're coming up against? You think they got a problem with you. It's not about you. The spirit, the power of Satan, the prince and the power of the air has blinded their minds. Now, that shouldn't discourage you because all things are possible to him that believe it. Right? And just like God called you saved when you were saying, no, I'm not going to serve God. God said, yeah, you will. You can do the same thing. You have the ability to speak into people's lives that are giving you problems. Oh, you can say, oh, it's going to be all right one day. You're going to get saved not too long from now. Everything will be just fine. I love you. Talk to you tomorrow. Call those things to be not as though they are. Boy, they're going to get mad at you. They're going to get hot. How dare you say that? I don't want to be no Christian. I ain't getting saved. God wants them to get so mad that they'll start talking to him. After a while, they're going to get so mad, they'll get past you, and they'll be talking to God. I don't like your people. I wish they'd leave me alone. Just get out of my life. And then God will start talking to them. Because, see, they got to talk to God before he can talk to them. If you don't believe I exist, why are you talking to me? I don't know, but I don't believe you exist. See, after a while, they'll wake up and they'll realize God just said something to them. Amen. So you can't be timid and fearful about your testimony. Nobody can dispute your testimony. How did you get saved? What did you go through to come to where you are now? That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
And God has a way of lining you up with just the right person for your testimony. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when God releases you to share your testimony.
Yes, it is.
You know that's a blessing. That's a wonderful thing. And God, hey, I was in prison the other night doing the Bible study, and I didn't know who was going to come. Sometimes a policeman will go down through there and say, "Church!" I like those kind of police. They help me out. But then some of them won't say nothing. They just go open the door for me. I go in the cafeteria, set my stuff up, and they just go on back, lock me up in there with them people. Lock me up in there and just leave me. You know, then they come down through there looking. Who is that in there? You know? Well, I decided I'm just going to play my guitar. I make my own announcement. Since I couldn't say, "Church!" They won't let me say it. So I just start playing my guitar loud. I got me an inspired tune from God that I'd never played before, and I tow it up. I tow it up. I turn it up and tow it up. And in a little while, this old guy came in there. He was like an old army guy. He had been 3 tours in Vietnam. Tough. He was cussing and tough, you know. And he came in there and he sat down and he looked at me. And he listened to that music. In a little while, he said, "I wouldn't even come in here tonight, but that music touched me." That's what he said. "That music touched me." And then I sang a song. And he spoke up again. And he said, "Oh, man, the lyrics and that music touched me." And I just kept on. I said, "I'll give you some more." I just kept on, you know. And I did all I could do before I got in the Word. And then I got in the Word, and then his old man, that old self, just came up. And it didn't make no difference whether he's in church or not. He was using MFs and SOBs and everything in the world you could think of. It was coming out of that man's mind. But I just rose up in the Lord and in a nice way and said, "But see, it wouldn't be that way if you did this and you did that, and if you trust in the Lord, da 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 da, and God will order your steps and all that." And I just gave him some instruction. He calmed down. Listen to that. Then I minister a little bit longer. Then he rise up, MF, SOB, such and such and such, and these people, and he's just going to town. And I just calmly in the spirit, I just said what I had to say. He quietened down again. He listened to that. Pray with the man to receive Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Said, "You know, you know, I gave him the gospel, and I said, you want this?" He said, "Yeah." Prayed to accept the Lord. After he accepted the Lord, he come back around and start to talk to me, SOB, MF, and all that. Come on now. It's going to take at least 24 hours for this to take effect. You know, he don't know that all things have passed away and all things have become new yet. He don't know that. He's so used to saying all that stuff. He started telling me a few things. I said, "Well, now let's pray about it. We're going to do this, that, and the other." And he said, "How long he's going to be there?" I said, "Well, I'll be back next Monday." I said, "Just come on back to the meeting." And just left him with it. He went out calm. He went on back to the barracks, so that, you know, in a calm manner. But see, that's what you run into. You say, "He didn't get saved. He wouldn't have been." No, come on now. Come on now. I've watched your actions and some things that you've done. Come on now. Oh yeah. He just as saved as you are. It's just not coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of your side and out of your foot. Out of your thoughts. Or out of your feelings. It's coming out somewhere else. He just don't know nothing but his mouth right now. Hallelujah. No, he saved. I expect him to be in the meeting tomorrow night. I'm going just to see him. Take the guitar and I'm going to start playing loud again. Amen. The enemy of this world, I mean, Satan, blinds the eyes of those that are unbelievers. But you see, all things are possible with God. We can just break through that blindness, that veil, and get the truth to them. But we do it in love. We do it in love. It's important for us to recognize the veils in our lives that hampers us from receiving and believing God. But we have to recognize that the veils that are on the unbeliever's life has been set there by the God of this world. And God has given you and I authority over it. Amen. So we have to go into the battle knowing full well what we're having to deal with. Amen. Go into the battle knowing the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they would not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. See, Jesus is the light of the world, and he lives in us, which makes us the light of the world. Amen? And so what we're doing is penetrating that individual's darkness. We are penetrating their darkness. So that makes it exciting, see? So you just can't sit around and think about yourself. You got to think about what God's called you to do. You are a light penetrating vessel of God. It says in verse 5, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves merely as your servants, slaves for Jesus' sake." That's what Paul considered himself. He said, "I am a bond servant of God. I'm a slave." He had to think that way. He had to think in terms of God has called me to do something. I am his servant. I am his bond servant. And that's what I have to carry myself like. That's what I need to think like. Because if I don't, I'm going to think that I don't deserve certain things. I'm going to think I'm better than having to go through certain things. See, when you're in ministry like myself, sometimes you experience things that really isn't your problem. It's somebody else's problem.
Amen.
And you're like an intercessor. You're feeling their pain.
Right.
You're feeling their struggle.
Yeah.
And God uses you to intercede and pray for them. Do you know that a lot of times the breakthroughs I get are not for me, it's for somebody else?
Amen.
Do you realize that as a pastor, some of the things I go through, I'm going through so that I can get you the word that you need to get you over? I don't have every problem that every one of you have. But I don't get up here and preach to myself. I don't just preach what I need. If I say anything that helps you, it's because God had to take me through something to get that truth to you. See? Taking the kingdom by force. Now, I wouldn't put up with that kind of mess if I didn't know who I was. Why am I having to suffer for you, you hard-headed rascal? You don't even like me, and I'm going through something for you? I ain't doing this no more. You don't like me? You talk about me at dinner? Can't wait to get out of church and talk about what you don't believe that I said? And here I am going through stuff so I can get you a word from heaven? That's God, man. God has to call you into ministry. He has to anoint you or you'll lose your mind. You give up on that. And people think preachers are in this for the money. Are you out of your mind?
Amen.
I make good money in secular work. If all I was interested in was money, I just quit this part. I'm doing very well, thank you. I could just quit this part if it's about money. Dear Lord, no, God has to call you. And you say, "Well, I don't want to be no pastor." That's all right. You're something, though. Amen. You say, "I don't want to be no evangelist." That's okay. You're something, though. I don't have to know what you are. God knows what you are. You're something. And he's going to use you, too. That's right. He's going to use you. And you know what? You can't escape it. You can't escape it. You can be like Dennis Rodman. You can be like Dennis Rodman. You can get all of the tattoos, and everywhere you can put a ring, you put it in there. And you can look like you are an abomination of the desolation if you want to. And God will look at you and say, "But your destiny is in me." You're going to have a great testimony. You're going to have a great testimony. By the time you tell them how you got all that stuff and you got to looking like that and how I came after you anyway, You just gonna demonstrate my great love. You can run all you want to. All you're doing is staying in shape, because I'm going to send you into missions. Hallelujah. You might traverse some mountains to help some of those people over there in the Congo or wherever they're at. I don't know. I don't even know if they got mountains in the Congo or not. I hope so, because if I saw a lion, I'd be heading for one. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your servant slaves for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. See that? See, I'm fulfilling that scripture because I'm a black man. Light's coming out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm fulfilling that. Let light shine out of black people. Dark people. Hallelujah. I'm fulfilling the scriptures, man. Glad to be black. Hallelujah. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. No, he said, let light shine out of darkness. Has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So you see, Jesus is the center of the message because he possesses all things that was won for us. That's why he came to live in you. He came to live in you so that he could bring everything that he won for you. You have it on the inside of you. Paul even made the statement, when God separated me from my mother's womb so that he might reveal his son, the Messiah, the Christ, in me. That's why he was born into the earth. He didn't know that. We didn't know it, did we? We didn't know it. But we were born into the earth so that we could reveal Christ, that Christ could be revealed in us, through us, to our world. Every one of us know people that need Jesus. Every one of us. See? And we need to get radical.
Yes, we do.
And let them have it. Let them have what we know about Jesus. Unashamedly. Let them have that love of God. Don't worry about breaking up your friendships and people judging you and saying that you're holier than thou and you don't want anything to do with them. Go to their parties. You saved, now you say, I can't go to the party. Who told you you couldn't go to the party? Go to the party. I met a gentleman that came to church here for a while at the grocery store. And prayed for him to receive Christ at the grocery store. And he said, man, I was just getting ready. I was buying some stuff to go to this party. I said, I'll go with you. I wanted to go because this was a rough dude. And I knew he had some rough people at that party getting ready to get down on Saturday afternoon. And he was getting some stuff and getting it together and some drinks. And he was getting ready to go. And I prayed with him somewhere down there by the meat, you know, by the steaks and stuff. And the guy gave his life to the Lord. And I said, I'll go with you. And he was like, no, you can't go. I'm like, no, I'd like to go with you. I was trying to convince him. I think it would have been awesome. I do. I think it would have been awesome. I think those people looked and went, and their jaws dropped. You know, I've been around for a while, you know, so people know. I come walking up in there with him. He got his stuff in his arm, you know, getting ready to party. And I'm walking with him. They're like, no, man, what you bring a preacher up in here for? What's wrong with you? No, don't judge him. I asked him if I could come. I want to party with you. I ain't no party pooper. I believe in having a good time. Praise him. Oh, Lord. Now, I probably would have got out of there, you know, okay, but I don't know. I don't know. You know, I might have had to get on the cell phone, call my wife. Better come get me. Come stand around me like they did Paul. I need you. I need you now, baby. But we got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to do that if you really want to serve God. To subject yourself to all kinds of situations. If God gives you that opportunity, then there's a real blessing in it for you. There really is, and for someone else. Let me close. Verse 7. He said, however, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. God calls some of the weakest little feeble looking people to do the greatest works. Now, there's people out there that God is using that don't have arms or legs, and you're complaining about your light bill. They're going around the world preaching the gospel, don't have every limb on their body. Some of them getting married. Someone looks at them and they don't have arms or legs, but they love what they're doing and they love their life and their commitment to God. And they said, that's the kind of person I want. You don't have to have arms or legs to be a man to me. And they fall in love and serve God. I met a couple of them. Met one up in Asheville. Saw him on television and then met him in Asheville. And the first thing you feel like doing when you walk up to somebody that you meet like that, you know, is to shake their hand. He ain't got no hand to shake, and I'm feeling like I need to shake his hand, you know, because I want to touch him. Thank God for him. Amen? See, you can't look at yourself and say, but I can't do that. There's no way that I can do that, Pastor. I'm a quiet person. I'm meek and humble and introvert. I just don't like to talk to people. Wait a minute. See, you got a treasure on the inside of you. Amen. You possess a treasure. It's called divine light. You got the divine light of the gospel in you. Whether you be frail or not, that grandeur, exceedingly greatness, and the power of God will be shown from you. All you have to do is be obedient to God.
Amen.
And you can walk away and say, God did it.
Right.
Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Are you that type of person?
Amen.
See, I don't count myself to be a great person, to be exceedingly strong and knowledgeable and all that kind of stuff. I understand that I am just a frail human being that God wants to use. And I submit to that. I give myself to it. You're not looking at somebody that wanted to do this. It wasn't my choice. It was his choice. Amen. He's made me tough in my skin because I need to be. Because if I live for you and for your friendship, I could never be the pastor that you need. If I let your expression, your face, really touch me behind this anointing, I couldn't come back and tell you the truth the next time.
No, man. That's right.
I love you. You know I love you. But at the same time, I can be your enemy, can't I? Uh-huh. And it's not me. But since you can't box with God, you try to box with me. You can't touch God because your arms are too short, but I'm within reach. Well, that's fine. I'm happy to be in that position so that I can take some of the buffing for God.
Amen.
I'm happy to be in that. Paul said, I'm looking to see if there's anything left of the sufferings of Christ that I can entail, that I can take up. Man, I'm telling you, by the anointing and by the grace of God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to do that because I really want my relationship with God to really be nurtured and brought to the place where it needs to be before Him. Not by man's estimation, but by God's estimation. I'm not going to sing I am a friend of God based on what I feel.
Amen.
I'm going to sing it based on what God said to me. When God says, I am your friend or you're my friend, then I can sing it. But I think you have to come to a place where you earn that privilege. I really do. Amen. I really do. I think that we need to walk and have a history of walking in obedience to God, overcoming some stuff. Because you don't get to where God wants you to be without going through some stuff.
Amen.
Having some real temptations and trials and tests in your life that touches you. And I mean touches you in a real way.
Right.
Where it could alter your life if you let it.
Right.
You have to go through those things. And on the other side, I've said, you know what? I wouldn't give myself up to that. I know what I just went through. I know what I gave myself to doing. But you know what? I don't want that. I want my God.
Hallelujah.
I want my God. It was a mistake what I went through. I shouldn't have let it go as far as it went. But I'm going to tell you this. I want my God.
Hallelujah.
I want my God.
Yes.
And I'm still going to strive to serve him and to walk with him even though I had that experience.
Hallelujah.
Even though I went through what I went through and even though I failed in the test. I'm still not going to give up.
Hallelujah.
I'm still not going to give in. Yeah, I failed. I shouldn't be here. He should count me out and say, you've disqualified yourself. Get out of the ministry. But he didn't do it. He reminded me that I got a better covenant with better promises. And he said, I will not remember your sins. I will not take in account how you have failed. The only thing I can see is your election and your calling. And as far as I'm concerned, you look just like Jesus. So get up and go after it. Hallelujah. Get up and go after it. Get up and go after it. Get up and go after it. Hallelujah. It ain't over. You know, let's just go ahead and just knock this one out of the park too. You got people saying it ain't over until God says it's over. Well, guess what? God ain't gonna never say it's over. He's an eternal God, so he ain't gonna never say the end.
Amen.
So we got a good future ahead of us, don't we, Brother Farris? We do. We've got a great future ahead of us. All we need to do is to keep on thinking like Jesus thinks. Amen? And let God do in our lives what he wants to do. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't have a challenge that's equal to the one that you failed in to come down the pipe. Amen. It might come in another package. It might be dressed up with a different color bow. And you know, the devil's not going to stop just because you determine tonight to go on with God. See? But you have to go with a determination, Lord. I'm going to do your will. Just like Jesus said, I've come to do your will. I am going to do your will. And nothing's going to stop me. I don't care what comes against me. I will continue to go forward. With your help and your grace, we're going to do this thing.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, thank you tonight for your word. Thank you tonight for speaking to us and charging us, encouraging us, and helping us to stand up, square our shoulders, and look forward, look ahead, and say before you that we have come to do thy will. Our heart's desire is to walk with our Savior. And that's what we give ourselves to tonight. And we give you thanks for it, Father. And we'll encourage each other by speaking the truth to each other, because that will ensure that we are effectually supplying to each other that thing, that encouragement, that word, that spiritual gift that will help us all to walk into your presence and hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You can enter in. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, can you?